WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's Place to Talk.
Hip hip hooray, let's give a cheer. It's 9 a.m., the signal's clear. Our favorite host is in the chair. The Truman Show is on the air.
It's the Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
The Truman Show is on the air. The Truman Show is on the air.
Now your host, Truman Jones.
And good morning, everyone. Jeff Jordan with you this morning from the palatial studios of WGNS Radio on the almost the top floor of this building. You know, Brian, that introduction is not really correct. First of all,
the palatial part?
Well, the palatial part. I'm not the favorite host, and we don't even have chairs.
No, you have palatial stools.
Palatial stools. Is that what these are?
I've heard them called much worse.
Well, I could certainly do that. This is Jeff Jordan, sitting in for the recuperating and soon to be back, I hope, Truman Jones, who's doing, as far as I know, and according to the folks up here, doing quite well. And matter of fact, has been on a little bit and has called in a time or two. So he's going to be back here. We're looking maybe the next week or the week after, and hopefully he's going to continue to improve. My guest this morning is a man that is hardly ever in the news. He really is not until election year, and then everybody knows his name. The Administrator of Elections, Alan Farley, joins me this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jeff. Yeah, I prefer not to be on the front page of the paper, because if it's not election time, that means there's something else going on. And I just prefer to kind of fly under the radar.
Well, you have you are a member of a well-known family here with two brothers that I know very well, Larry and Gary, and they are often in the news. Both of them have very responsible positions in the community. But boy, right now, this is particularly yesterday and today, presidential election year every 4 years, you got a lot to do.
It is. We've been very busy, really leading up to probably the last 3 weeks have been extremely busy. Our staff has been, we've been coming in early, staying late. We actually, most of us worked Saturday and Sunday this past weekend because of, with the deadline for voter registration being October the 11th, the first day of early voting being October 18th, we had to make sure we had all of our new registered voters in our database. And, you know, in the last 3 weeks, we added over right at 6,700 new registered voters. So that is a lot of folks. And so we had to work a lot of overtime to get ready for that. And so we met our goal, and we were ready to go as soon as the doors opened yesterday morning at 7 o'clock.
It just so happened, since I had some forms that Ms. White absolutely insisted that I have in on the 11th, or she was going to have me jailed, and financial forms from the election back in August, that was the final day. So I was in your office. And only there a minute or two. But while I was there and turning in those forms, there were, I believe, and it was in the morning, there was about 11 or 12 people sitting around various places filling out the forms. I held the door for three people going in as I went in. And then when I left, three or four more were coming in. And Ms. White said they were all there, as far as she knew, to register.
Yes, sir. And we had about right at a dozen people that morning before our doors opened at 8 a.m. standing outside waiting to turn in their registration. That day, I believe the count I had was we had right at 900 people that dropped off their registration or came in and filled out a registration that day, which is a lot of traffic, a lot of foot traffic for our office.
We have Rutherford County has a large number of people registered, don't we, for our population?
We do. As of when we finished up Monday morning, we had right at 168,000 registered voters. And then, of course, people that are registering here have moved from somewhere else in most cases. So the same thing's happened to other people. There are some people moving out of Rutherford County. I don't know why. But it seems like everybody's moving in. But, you know, then after we did a purge of folks who have passed away or have moved, that number's down to about 167,500 or so, our total registered voters. And I can remember when we didn't have 160,000 in the county. I can remember when we only had about 80,000 in the entire county. So that is quite an impressive number of voters that we have.
What's procedures? Alan, if somebody walks in from just moved here from New York or wherever and wants to register, and which probably means that they've been registered somewhere else. I mean, most likely that's true. What kind of procedures does your office take then? What do you do?
Well, they come in and then they fill out a voter registration application, or they mail it in. Of course, a lot of times, when people move in like that, they go to the Department of Safety, to the DMV, and change their driver's license. Part of that is they can check a box and say that they want to register to vote. And then part of that process, they actually complete a voter registration form. And then they sign that form, and then it's sent over to our office. We actually go pick them up once a week. And so then that way we process them as a new voter, and then we go ahead and enter them into our database, and then we send them a voter card. Then at that point in time, they must appear for the first election. They must appear in person. If a voter actually registers to vote by mail, then they do have to appear in person for that first election, meaning they cannot vote absentee by mail, because that way that lets our office know and our polling officials know that, well, Jeff Jordan is Jeff Jordan. I mean, he has a photo ID and proves that is him. So that's kind of how that process works. Or they can actually, as of July of 2017, the state, we just have passed this last General Assembly, online registration. So they can actually go online and register online, which I think would be a big plus. And it's going to actually work in conjunction with the Department of Safety's online database, to where their signatures will transfer on their registration from you have on your driver's license. Because having the original signatures is critical, because that's what we compare. A lot of times, say someone sends in a absentee ballot or registration request, and so what we do is we'll compare that signature versus what's on their voter registration. But it's multiple ways to register. You can do it by mail. You can do it by coming under our office, or you can do it at some of the Department of Safety, Department of Health, or any of the line ball libraries here. You can actually fill out a registration and drop off there too.
I get this question, and I bet you do too. It's not impossible to vote twice or more, but it's very, very difficult, isn't it?
Very difficult. Because what we actually do is
it's also illegal.
Yes, it is. some people, the old slogan, vote early, vote often. Well, you can vote early, but voting often will get you caught and get you put in jail. But there's so many cross checks in the election process that, just like early voting, our database is tied into our server at the office. So when you go in and we go ahead and print you a ballot application, and what we do is we print that, and then when you sign it and turn it in, we click on it, it says voted. So what that does is that you can't go to another location. We pull it up, and we've even had this happen before. Some of our beloved elderly people, they request a ballot. You can request an absentee ballot 90 days before an election. Well, sometimes I can't remember what I did last week. Well, sometimes we'll have them, they'll show up on election day, forgetting that they had cast that ballot back, 60 days prior. And when they get there, then, of course, it shows that that they've already voted and voted absentee, which is an honest mistake. So they'll, you know, we catch them that way. So, but then somebody who tries to come and vote, you know, twice and try to sneak in, you know, that's not happened since I've been there that I'm aware of. You know, sometimes you have a junior and a senior. Sometimes it may, we have to pay very close attention to the date of birth.
Right.
On that, so make sure that we're not voting, we're not pushing the button for, you know, the son when it's actually the father, vice versa on that. But yeah, but voting twice is not not highly recommended to try.
Well, it is illegal, and we have had people within the state of Tennessee. I've read this that have been prosecuted for that.
Yes,
and it's not a pretty picture. You know, when. Of course, this day is gone, and I recognize that. But the old way of doing it when I was a boy and registered to vote and so forth, young man, we voted at Salem. Well, whoever was running the election at the Salem store probably knew every single person by name. Probably went to church with them,
yes,
or something, you know. Yes. And so when you walked in. And they knew who you were and everything. And if a stranger walked in and wanted to vote, it probably wasn't going to work. But today, we've got, as you just said, 168,000 people. And the election, the people that run the election, there's been tremendous turnover and new training and the technology. The technology is extensive today, and no paper ballots anymore.
It really is, and that's one of the things that when I've come into this position is to really expand our training, to add additional training. Of course, you have the minimal state what's required, and of course, as I tell our folks, I mean, that's the minimum required. You can never have too much training, and especially when you're doing a job that you only do three times every 2 years, because you have an election in the even number of years, and so now we only have three. We have the May or March, depending if it's presidential year. Then you have August, then you have November. And so I think that anything that we can do to invest into our poll workers are very important as far as training, extra training for our officers, because election laws change basically every year, because every time the General Assembly meets, there's typically some minor changes here and there, which I think is very, very important that we keep everyone abreast of those. And I think that it helps retain good quality poll workers, too, because they're not having to spin their wheels trying to find answers to solve problems when they get something presented to them on election day. It doesn't become frustrating. And I think that that's a big part of having them to be well-trained and not have to deal with the frustration levels, other than people lined out the door, and we're working on that too. So,
it's and I don't want to get into, and I know you definitely do not want to get into the candidates or anything like that. But with that said, but this particular presidential election has been very. Well, it's competitive. How about that for a word?
Competitive spirit would pretty well sum that up, and I think that's one reason why you see the heightened number of voter registrations. And kind of just looking and observing, I had this question asked to a group I spoke to the other night, and they said, "Well, who do you think, you know, is kind of registering? Is it really is it a group, or do you think it's aimed toward one candidate? Or is there an organization that kind of led a voter registration drive?" And really, you can't really pin it to one certain group. There was, if you looked at that group, I mean, I say when you came through, it was probably pretty diverse. There were some young people. There were some minorities. There were some male and female.
Yes.
And just a cross-section of Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. And so there's really, the university did do a voter registration drive there on campus that I think it generated probably around 300 or so new voters. But outside of that, there wasn't, you know, to make up that 6,700 or so wasn't, you know, a large, you know, block of certain segment of organizations trying to register voters.
There are a lot of both parties, and maybe minority parties too, if that's the right word, and other groups, public service groups, service organizations, schools that have voting registration drives, try to get people registered to vote.
Yes, and you know, we try to work with everybody that that comes to us and say, hey, we want to do a voter registration drive. And I know the Center of the Arts had a play back in July that they had, and it was I want to say it was 1776. It was kind of based off the founding of America. And they come to me and say, you know, kind of with the topic, you know, we think that we might have some people that might want to register to vote. And so one of our staff members went over there and kind of went through with their volunteers and said, you know, how to register people. And they ended up, I think they registered about 42 people over a 5 or 6 weekend period. So I think that was very helpful. And you know, we've had several different churches and civic organizations who've actually asked that request. And that's part of what we do, that we're here to serve the voters. We're here to serve the candidates who run. And take pride in making sure that we serve everybody who comes through our door.
Some schools register people because a lot of youngsters turn 18 late in their junior year, earlier in their senior year, in this case, because of the election occurring when it does. And a number of schools can register people to vote, can they not?
Yes, sir. And one thing that we've done in our office is that trying to add that social media component. Of course, I'm a young fellow. I mean, I'm looking at 50, closer to it than I used to be.
I'm looking back at it.
But, you know, I kind of want to think I'm hip and cool, you know, from my time out at the university. But a lot of this social media stuff, I don't really know the ins and outs of. But we have a young lady in our office that's what she does. And I mean, and so she actually has gone out and to all of the high schools, in the county, you know, Eagleville, Siegel, Oakland, Riverdale, Blackman, Laverne, Smyrna, Middle Tennessee Christian. And what we've done is we've actually did a voter registration drive. We went out there at set up there in the cafeteria in their lunch hour. And I think Central Magnet may be the one that has generated the most. We had, of course, we had a good turnout and really in all the schools. But that was probably the highest number of new voters that we had. But we did it back last year, and then we did it this at the beginning of school year this year as we were heading into the presidential election. So they've always been great to work with us. All the principals have been good to work with us, and we always kind of team up with the government teacher there on campus at all the schools to kind of help us lead that effort.
I would suggest that, obviously, I guess this is obvious, that people probably watched part of the debate last night. It was almost impossible to get away from it unless you watched the Cubs win, which I did. But I have to admit, I skipped over to the debate frequently during the evening and watched that. But anyway, a lot of interest in Trump-Clinton, but your responsibilities and the responsibilities of your office every single election and is important. And I don't know if everybody in the county is aware of this or not, but we have a number of elections in this county that don't involve the president that are taking place that's going to be on the ballot. And can you go over some of those? I know the cities have some. And
yeah, we have Smyrna has a pretty competitive election going that runs in conjunction with our election for president and our state and federal general elections. And really, Smyrna, in our early voting location yesterday, was our first day, and Smyrna had the second highest turnout of and normally our office on the square and SportsCom's always 1 and 2, but Smyrna really turned out big yesterday. They had 1,021 people that cast votes there. And I think that's due to a competitive city council race they have there. Laverne has a municipal city council race this year as well. And I expect that to be a very spirited campaign. Also, Eagleville has a municipal election. And so they're, so all three of those do generate, you know, the local interest there. But of course, all the news coverage and the media, expert talking heads, experts, you know, they're all talking about the presidential. So that really drives it. And I tell people all the time when I speak, you know, the president is a very important position. It really is. And I spoke to a group the other night and I said, but we have, you know, we'll have, I'm projecting 74% turnout. We'll probably vote close to 124,000 people this November election. But, you know, you look back at last August, we had right at 14% turnout. And, of course, you know, and of course, 2 years ago, which was our big eight-year ballot when you have all your judges and all your county commission and county constitutional offices, you know, your school board members, your local county commission, city councils, your constitutional officers, they have a quicker impact on your daily life than the president does. Not saying that the president doesn't have an impact, but those issues, whether it be dealing with roads, dealing with schools, dealing with local, if we had traffic, issues here in the county and city, you know, they would handle things like that. So, but fortunately, we don't have those big kind of problems. But they're the ones that can address the issue quicker. Now, they like in roads and traffic, they have to have help from state and federal. So there's partnership issues there. But they can have a far greater impact quicker than, say, the president and the United States Congress. But we don't, as a group, we don't really pay a close attention to that because we don't have the national media driving that. And I think a lot of times the national media is what drives those national elections. But I think it's just as important to vote for a city municipal election or a county election as it is the presidential election. And you know, I've never missed an election, no matter if it was a referendum. I remember several years ago we had a referendum on a bond issue that City of Merseburg did, and that's all that was on the was on the ballot. So, but I've never missed an election since I've been 18 years old because I was always raised that every election is important, no matter who's on the ballot.
I think I can go along with that. I don't really remember myself. I might have. We went through a period at one time when I was much younger where we had a number of liquor referendums and within a year or two. Mm-hmm. And I might have missed one or two of those. But other than that, I don't think that I have ever missed an election and voting. But this is a year, and you're talking about this large turnout that you were predicting, which, boy, that would be very, very high, 74%. Now, I'm not arguing with you. You probably know exactly what you're talking about. But just pointing out to the public that there's no governor on this ballot and there's no United States senator. Mm-hmm. Now, there'd have to be a congressional because it's every 2 years.
Correct.
So the Congress is there, but these other major offices, they're not there, and we're still going to have this turnout, you think?
Yeah, because what you'll have is, I mean, some people will have on their ballot three offices. They'll have the president, they'll have congressional, and they'll have their state representative. And so some will have a state senate race on there, so some may have four. Now, if you're not in Smyrna, Laverne, or Eagleville, you won't have a municipal election on your ballot to vote. So it's a very quick ballot. I mean, and I think this... I mean, people pretty much know, especially if they're voting early, how they're going to vote. It's two minutes max is what people have been in the voting booth because it's a short ballot, but it's an important ballot. So I think that basically looking at 2008 is what we're kind of modeling this because you've got a White House that is not being neither candidate is a sitting president or vice president, which 2008 was the last time that was had happened. So kind of modeling that when that was a 72% turnout in that election. And then in 2012, you had the presidential election was we had a 69% turnout with the Obama-Romney election. So I think that's going to drive. And I mean, and based off of yesterday's numbers, if we average 6,000 voters a day, which we were just shy of that yesterday, we'll vote between 82 and 84,000. 82,000 is what I've predicted we'll vote early. And then we normally have been voting two-thirds of our people early, and I think we'll vote probably about 40, 41,000 on Election Day. So that puts us right at the 120,000 vote mark. And but it's you know, we've with the barometer there, looking at the all the key markers is voter registration, people who are changing, updating their addresses, updating their registrations, the calls, the traffic on our website, wanting to verify, you know, are they still registered to vote, where's their voting locations, that this really has the beginning of a record turnout.
In running myself, I guess every time that I've run, one thing I've noticed about people, talking to them, and they'll ask me too, because the school board election is three commission districts, and so I may ask them, they may ask me, are they in my district, or do they? And I ask them, well, where do you vote? And I'd say, Alan, that half the people that I ask that question don't know where they vote, because mostly I think because they have voted early for so long that they have forgotten where they last voted on Election Day.
You're exactly right, because we're 22 years into early voting. 1994 was when that was first implemented, so you have a whole generation that has never voted at their Election Day precinct. And so they don't know that you know, Mitchell Nielsen or Bellwood or Hopgood, you know, some of the older schools, more traditional schools back in that used to be the prime voting locations back in you know, yesteryear, but because they never been there, they don't go, but they can tell you, they'll show up at SportsCom, they'll show up at Lane Agri Park or our office, especially our office. Because we have early voting there, but Election Day we do not, and because they don't know, they don't know.
I don't know that. I don't. I was just trying to think about myself. I have voted at Bellwood School, and I worked the polls at Bellwood School on at least one occasion, but I know I haven't voted there in at least 10 years. I know, and my wife and I go together, mm-hmm. you know, and we mm-hmm. have lunch and we go vote. Which we'll probably do, probably today or tomorrow, you know. and a lot of people, they'll always say the same thing. I know it's coming to. They say, "Well, now you know, the last time I voted, seems like it was Hopgood. I'm not sure." And I said, "Well, look at your voter registration, you know, card, yeah. which is my next question to you, and then that will solve your problem as to where you were supposed to go." If you wait until Election Day. But what kind of identification, whatever, that if you walk in, the average voter, to vote early today, what are they going to have when they walk in?
Well, they'll need to have a state of Tennessee issued or a federal government issued photo ID, a Tennessee driver's license, a Tennessee handgun permit, or a passport, a military ID. Anything that really, and the address, you can have an expired driver's license that the address is completely wrong. That's not what we're interested in. The intent of the law is to say that's a picture of Joe Pearl, and you know, you are who you say you are, and so that's, you know, it can, but the address may be you know, somewhere that you lived before, and it may be expired, because you know, sometimes. Some of our elderly folks, they you know, they don't drive anymore, and but they've kept their driver's license, and so you know, they say, well, it's expired, but that's okay, it doesn't matter. So, but a passport, a military ID, the Tennessee handgun permit, and the driver's license, those are the more common photo IDs that we see. Now, if you have a city of Murfreesboro or a Rutherford County ID. That's not accepted. Student IDs are not accepted, but it has to be be issued by the state or federal government.
Alan, I'll tell you something that happened to us, and Your office handled it beautifully. My mother-in-law was with us. She's been gone a while now, but when she was with us, she was in her 80s. And we were, I think we'd gone to lunch. I don't know, my wife and I and her and whatever. And it happened to be during election time, and we were coming down Broad, and I said, hey, well, as long as we're out, let's go vote. And I asked her, she usually voted absentee. She hadn't driven in years. Mm-hmm. And I said, have you voted? And she said, no, I haven't voted yet. And I said, well, we'll go up to the election commission and vote. And I forgot about the photo ID thing, okay? And I get there, and I think my wife brought this up. She says, don't we have to have a photo ID? And I thought, oh, no. She doesn't have a driver's license, you know. They're not going to let her vote, which would have been proper. They couldn't let her vote. And she said, well, now, wait a minute. She said, I believe I've got a photo ID. And she pulled out of her wallet, I could not believe this, she pulled out of her wallet a Seward Air Force Base PX pass. my father-in-law was an Air Force guy, 20-year Air Force guy, been dead many years. Mm-hmm. She still had her PX. How old was that? And we went in, and I thought, they're never going to accept this. I mean, they'll never accept. But it was her. It was clearly her. And your office looked at that, and they didn't bat an eye. They said, absolutely, Ms. Gallon, you go right on ahead and vote.
I mean, that's a federal issued ID. So, I mean,
yeah.
And
hers was probably more legitimate than my driver's license.
And so that it met that criteria. It met the criteria of the law. So, that's got to be at least a good.
I don't know when it closed. Mid 70s, I guess
something like that. So we've been at least 40 years now. Anyway, but yeah, and you know we had one person who submitted a NASA ID. He was a retired person from NASA. Of course, that's not, you don't necessarily see those every day.
Right.
And so they called me over, and I said, well, NASA's a federal. It's a federal agency. So, yes, that is good. So sometimes you see some unique ones like that. But I think it's good because it does keep people from, you know, the intent of what it is to keep people, make sure we don't have the fraudulent voting.
Right.
That we've had in some parts of the country, or you know, because I know a few years ago, several years ago, that there was an election that was overturned in Memphis due to some irregularities, which I think that's what kind of created the push for the voter ID law here in Tennessee. So, one thing too, some people, you know, if someone from a religious standpoint that.
I want you to hold that thought. Okay. Would you please? Because our boss, my boss, anyway, he wants a break.
Okay.
So, Alan Farley, the Administrator of Elections for Rutherford County, a very busy man these days, will rejoin us after the Brian Barrett break.
Let's go sell something. Comus Montgomery Realty and Auction Company has been in business for over 40 years. We are a family-owned company in our third generation, located right here in Middle Tennessee. We specialize in online and live auction, residential, commercial, farmland, personal property, and more. Check out some of our upcoming auctions throughout Middle Tennessee.
Estate auction, 3-bedroom, 2-bath mobile home on 4.9 acres, located at 7068 Leanna Central Valley Road in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The auction will be held on location Thursday evening, October 20th at 6 p.m. Estate Track, 2.95 acres in Triple Crown Farm Subdivision, located at 115 Triple Crown Drive in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Bid now online or on location Thursday evening, October 27th at 6 p.m.
If you would like your property marketed worldwide and sold quickly, give us a call today to book your auction. 615-895-0078 or see us on the web at comusmontgomery.com.
Save big this fall on work boots at French's Shoes and Boots on South Church Street. Get pull-on steel-toe safety boots from Ariat, all leather with the industry's leading heat-resistant outsole. Normally $160, our price is only $89.99. You can't find deals like this anywhere else. Plus, those jingle bells will soon be ringing. Lay away now for Christmas at French's, which is even open Sundays.
Shop at French's. French's Shoes and Boots.
Visit us on South Church Street, just down from Beeman Dodge.
Hey, this is Allison from Bud's Tire Pros. Football, bonfires, and fall activities are in full swing. Let us get your vehicle ready for kickoff. Our team at Bud's Tire Pros will treat you like family, never pressure you, and get you in and out with plenty of time to head over to the game without sacking your wallet. Bud's Tire Pros carries a great selection of tire brands, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. For local service you can trust, visit Bud's Tire Pros in Murfreesboro or online at budstireprostn.com. We're at 3600 East Main Street, 3 miles from the town square.
If you are looking for a place to get well before returning home or to assisted living, look no further than Northside Healthcare Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. Northside features a state-of-the-art therapy department offering physical, occupational, and speech therapies, provides daily activities so that residents can make the most of their time at Northside. They work to ensure that their residents receive the very best medical care possible. Get well, live well at Northside Healthcare on East MTCS Drive beside Middle Tennessee Christian School.
Hear that? Folks, that's the sound of victory. So glad I went to Murfreesboro Outdoors. They point me to everything I need to be ready for the hunt. Murfreesboro Outdoors is the only place I trust to service my bows and mount my scopes. Going fishing? I was outfitted at Murfreesboro Outdoors for my rods, reels, and tackle. They can replace a rod tip faster than a cat on a marble floor. I get all my seasonings off the hot sauce wall there. I can't wait to show up and show off my latest victory.
I'm Randy Boland from Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street between Highway 840 and Thompson Lane.
Distracted teenage drivers. I'm Ron Jordan, News Radio WGNS. More than 80% of teens said when surveyed that they use their smartphones while driving. According to a new report from State Farm, American teens who choose to be distracted by their smartphones when they're behind the wheel are also more likely to participate in other dangerous driving behaviors like speeding, driving under the influence, or failing to wear a seatbelt. Wilson Bank and Trust celebrating 10 years in Rutherford County. The bank inviting the community to stop by their Memorial Boulevard location this Friday for a free barbecue lunch from 11 to 1. Plus, they'll have cash drawings and prizes throughout the day. A Smith & Wesson 9mm handgun found in the front of Cottage Grove Apartments in Murfreesboro on Las Casas Pike. The gun was evidently found by a tenant around 6 o'clock Tuesday night near the office. There was also one bullet in the chamber. A magazine for the handgun was also found. Murfreesboro police checked the National Crime and Information Center database and confirmed the gun was not listed as stolen. The weapon was collected and turned over to the evidence room at the police department. Another carton of Newport cigarettes has been lifted in Murfreesboro. This time, a man tried to buy beer and the cigarettes at a Dollar General on Broad Street near Rutherford Boulevard. When the credit card was declined, the subject grabbed the smokes, left the beer, and got away in a white four-door sedan. So far, a total of 8 cigarette carton thefts have been reported in the past 5 days. City of Murfreesboro Water and Sewer Department has been designated as a utility of the future. The Utility of the Future program should help utilities be more efficient and environmentally friendly. And that's the news you need to know. I'm Ron Jordan, News Radio WGNS.
Brought to you by
Ace Construction.
We specialize in residential and commercial repairs, remodeling, and even new construction.
Josh Whitlock with AceConstructionTN.com.
The stock market, you either love it or hate it. Remember what happened to your investment and retirement accounts back in 2000? And again in 2008? I hope we never have to go through that again, but you never know. How much risk are you taking with your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts? I'll bet you didn't think you were taking much risk the last time the market fell. Look what happened. Make sure you never get caught off guard by taking too much risk. Get your retirement accounts stress-tested. Chris Wallace of WG Financial has seen the best and worst the economy and stock markets have to offer, and they've helped guide their clients through it all. Let them stress test your retirement accounts so you can see how much risk you're really taking. Don't get surprised again. Contact WG Financial today about stress testing your portfolio before it's too late. It may just open your eyes. Call 615-624-8049. That's 615-624-8049. Never get caught off guard again. 615-624-8049. Investment advisory services offered through Global Financial Private Capital, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
WeatherWise.
See a good chance for showers and thunderstorms here this afternoon with cloudy sky conditions, a high into the low 80s, and southwest winds around 5 to 10. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Right now, 73.
Premier Six Theater on Broad and Jackson Heights, showing all of your favorite movies. Call their hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Popcorn pop fresh daily. Their movie hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Premier Six on Broad and Jackson Heights.
News Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. The Truman Show on News Radio WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450. Online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
And welcome back. Jeff Jordan sitting in this morning for a rapidly improving Truman Jones. He'll be back in not too long and get back in his favorite stool. Not chair. There are no chairs at WGNS Radio.
No rocking chairs.
Alan Farley, Administrator of Elections, joining me this morning and educating me and the public on voting and election day and so forth. And speaking of that, I think you told me before we got on the air that yesterday, which was the first day of early voting, wasn't the largest day ever for early voting, but it was the largest opening day ever. Is that right?
Yeah, we compared to 2008 election, we had 3,233 people that voted the first day in 2008. Then, of course, 2012 was 4,132, and then yesterday we hit 55,747. So that's trending upward, which I think, of course, 2008, we had the highest number of votes cast in the county, which is right at 102,000. So I think that's what we're going to track on that. We'll beat that with our growth and of course, with this competitive presidential election.
Election day, November 8th, but the early voting began yesterday and extends till just a few days before that, and I apologize, I don't know.
November 3rd.
You can vote on November 3rd,
yes.
And then you'll have to wait until the 8th if you haven't cast your ballot by that time. And you, up to this point, and you're going to have to correct me, and I'm sure you will, generally speaking, we've had about 50 to 55% of the votes cast in early voting. Is that a fair statement to make?
And most elections, yes. Presidential seems to have more of closer to two-thirds. The past two presidential elections were right at two-thirds of vote cast early. And historically, but your county and city and state elections, you'll tend to have between 55 to 58% on a high end vote of your total votes casted early.
People don't want to stand in line on election day. I guess they are trying to avoid that for sure.
Yeah, and the great thing about early voting is, you know, you've got, you know, 14 days to vote, and of course you've got from our office, you got from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, Saturdays from 8 to 3. Our satellite locations, which, you know, is Lane Agri Park there at the Livestock Pavilion, the Smyrna Town Hall, the Laverne Civic Auditorium, SportsCom, the Vine Street Annex, and I'm trying to think if I've left anybody, the Middle Tennessee Association of Realtors Building over on Butler Drive. Those are 9 to 6 Monday through Friday and 8 to 3 on Saturday. So there's a lot of available hours, and that's one thing we've done this election. We've expanded our Saturday hours from noon to 3 p.m. to help handle the extra volume. We're trying to encourage as many people to vote early because you do have – there is a tomorrow. You know, if you didn't make it yesterday or the lines, you know, we only had for such a busy day, we only had lines maybe a 10-minute wait. So we've really worked hard and try to make sure we move people through very quickly. You know, we have people at various locations on our early voting sites. If you have to change your address, they are there to get that done. So while you're standing in line, you filling out your form. So when you go to vote to get your ballot application, you hand it to them. So that way, we've helped expedite, speed that process up. So there is, you could go the next day. But on election day, that's it. So if there's a line, you either say, okay, I'm going to wait in this line, or I'm not going to vote. So that's a good thing about early voting, that it does give you, it fits your schedule. You drive by, you know, you want to go by at lunch, and you think, okay, well, I don't have time to wait, so I'm going to come back after work, or I'm going to get it first thing in the morning. So that's the great thing about early voting, and I think that people that will plan out their day will go ahead and plan that out. That'll make it a lot easier. You can go ahead and get your vote cast and be done with it.
There's really no excuse, is there? Not really.
There's not. And we're working on something for 2018 that I don't really want to get into, other than just the fact of we're working on trying to make things more convenient. That really and truly, the convenience you have of early voting, of voting at any of the locations, we're working on that to have in the May of 2018 election, that you can vote at any of the precincts on election day. But that's not till May of 2018. This election, if you vote on election day, you must go to your assigned location. And of course, if people want to know, they can go to our website at election.rutherfordcountytn.gov, and they can go to our map and they can type in their address, and it will pop up there on the GIS map. Our OIT department has worked very well with us to pinpoint, so what it do, it tell you exactly where you need to go vote. So if you don't have your voter registration card, you can look it up that way or call our office. But it's an excellent tool to help find where you vote, and it give you directions. Also, we'll give you a nice picture of the facility where you're supposed to enter inside of it. So we've gone high tech at the election commission.
Write-ins always maybe a problem. Always. Sometimes funny.
Yeah.
I do know when we were talking with Brian during the break. I know when many years ago, if you wrote in somebody or even a cartoon character, Mickey Mouse was popular. You mentioned that.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Porky Pig was popular. Mm-hmm. The news media would, and the election commission would report that who you had voted for. There was one vote cast for Mickey Mouse at such and such a precinct. That's really no longer true, but people still do it, don't they?
Yes, they do. And of course, we always get Donald Duck and Mickey Mouse are probably the two most common people who are fictional people that get votes. Yosemite Sam is always it seems to be a favorite, and we've even had people write in. Dead presidents for office, but the law changed a while back to where you have to be a qualified write-in candidate. So if you're not one of the approved and you haven't gone through that process, and those are people that don't qualify before the deadline, so there's a process for them to add their name to the ballot, but their name does not appear. So you have to write their name on the ballot. And actually, we have an open race, council race in Eagleville, that is a 2-year term. It's an unexpired term. That is nobody's running for it. Nobody qualified. But we do have one person that is a qualified write-in candidate, and that's Bill Tollett. He's the interim. He was appointed to fill that vacancy until the election. But he didn't qualify. But so then after nobody qualified, then he's the official write-in candidate. So if he gets one vote, he's the council member elect for the remainder of that term. So then that's what that structure's set up
right
for.
Alan, I can't imagine doing this job that you do without early voting. I would think November 8th would be absolutely chaotic. Even with the electronic media and electronic counting procedures that we have today, I can't imagine it without early voting.
You think trying to put 124,000 people through 49 precincts, and I mean, and our largest precincts, they average around 3,000 registered voters per precinct. You know, we have Laverne Lake; they have right at 6,700 registered voters. But most of them are between 3,500 and 4,000 people. But anyway, you try to get that many people through the polls in a 12-hour period. I don't think I would be able to find anybody that would be willing to work elections. And our election, I tell them every time we have training, you know, my staff, there's eight of us, but the people that go and vote every election, it's that registrar, it's that machine operator, it's that officer, the people that they see every election to the residents of Rutherford County, that is the election commission to them. So how they conduct their business, how well they treat the voters and greet the voters when they come there and take care of their voting needs, that's a representative of our office. And so, you know, they're just as important role. They may not, some of those voters may not ever meet me. But to them, the person that has given them their ballot application for the last, you know, 10 elections, that lady or that man is the election commission. And so, so I always tell them, so they are a very important, integral role of what we do in our office.
My wife and I vote. And we usually vote at Van Street. And I like Van Street because it's a little cramped sometimes, you know, the parking and so forth. Mm-hmm. But nobody bothers you when you walk in because the parking lot, you have to stay right outside the parking lot. And right, so you can park and nobody bothers you. But I also vote on the square up there. And it's almost always the same people that are running the computers and all that, mm-hmm, kind of stuff. They're always very nice, right, by the way.
And we have a very dedicated group of people that really take pride in what, because they don't do it for the money.
Yeah, I was going to say, it pays, I don't even know what it pays.
It's $120 election day. The early voting pays an hourly wage because you're working over a long period of time. But yeah, they don't do it for the money. They really do it for the civic responsibility and for the love of their communities. What motivates them.
State law, well, I think federal law, says that the states and counties and cities handle the elections, right? Or it's the counties.
Yeah, really, everybody's is their own. We have 95 different entities in the state of Tennessee. Tennessee has different voting or election laws than 49 other states. Every state has their own law. So all the elections are run by the individual states. And so really it comes down to the states empower, or I guess they don't empower, they have the counties actually run and conduct, because I don't work for the county mayor. I don't work for the county government. I'm an county employee, but I actually work for a board and commission. And so does all the other administrators in the state, because what it does is that you're not, you don't answer to an elected official. And so that elected official doesn't have any say or can hold anything over that administrator to say, okay, you will do this, you will do that. So the political aspect of it is removed, as far as, because you have to administer the election of your boss if it was that way. So that's the way that it's structured. And of course, the state is a resource. The State Division of Elections is a resource for us. We work in conjunction with them, but we don't report to them. You know, it's a unique situation, but it works well, and I think it's a great format that we have here in Tennessee.
The election commission runs the elections. The city of Murfreesboro has nothing to do with the elections. Is
correct,
that fair?
Right. It's a county,
even though it may be held at a city school, which it is.
Yes,
or some building in the city, which it is. Mm-hmm. Rutherford County runs it.
Yes, it's we're responsible for all the city elections and county elections and state elections and federal elections.
That would be all of them.
That's it, and we have a great partnership with the school systems and the city schools and the county schools, especially with the partnership we worked with the county schools on poll workers. You know, schools are closed, and that's one thing. And I've got with Butch Campbell with the city school and met with Ms. Gilbert, Dr. Gilbert, and said, here are the dates for the next election cycle, 2-year cycle, 4-year cycle, that we're going to have elections. So when you're setting your calendars, don't schedule school, especially the August election, the first day of school, because that 7 to 8:30 time frame, it's very hectic when you got people trying to get people to school, you got voters trying to come in. So working and letting them know, communicating with them, and helping plan takes headaches away from them and also takes headaches away from us. And then, of course, the great relationship that we have with the county school board, with the director of schools, Don Odom, we're actually working with that, where their teachers are actually, their schools are closed. Some of them have an ability to make some extra money, plus they get in-service credit, for what they're doing, because they can implement that within their classes, which I think is important to help our younger generations to understand the importance of voting.
To be fair, too, I know I heard this the last election within the city that they did not like, and I get this for obvious reasons of what we read in the news every day. They didn't like a lot of people in their parking lots and in their buildings that they didn't know. Mm-hmm. Even if they're only coming in the gym, that's a problem. And so, generally speaking, schools are closed, aren't they?
Yes, sir. And one thing, too, of course, by state law, if it's a government-funded building, a county school or a city school or a state-funded facility, they cannot deny us the right to hold an election there, because it is funded by taxpayer dollars and it's used for an election. I typically don't like to enforce that, because I want to be somewhere where one we're wanted, and we can have a good working relationship, because sometimes the missions, our mission and the mission of other places don't work well. And of course it's trying to find private businesses to host an election. I mean, you're not going to find many Bud's Tires. I mean, I don't think Bud Mitchell has sold. I don't know if he sold a tire by hosting elections out there, a precinct there, but he does it for the people in his immediate community, the Jakestown, the Kitchell area out there, and so that's great for that. But really, the schools, government buildings, are the most critical part for us to be able to hold the elections, because you have parking, you do have the needed square footage to be able to do that, and overall, pretty much, I mean, we have a great working relationship because we provide one another feedback.
Alan Farley's been our guest today, and Alan, I really appreciate you, particularly on kind of short notice, and that's my fault, for being our guest. But boy, it turned out to be perfect timing, at least for me and the public, I think, in general. It's going to be a couple of weeks, but eventually you're going to get to take a breath, and your staff gets to take a breath, and it'll all be done for a while anyway.
It will be, and of course, this is what we're there for. So it's our game time. Time for us to shine, and like I tell our staff every day, we can be great for 362 days a year, but it's those 3 days that make it, a hero or make us a goat. So we got to always, we work the 362 days to make sure that we look good on those three important days.
Well, here's wishing no controversy over the next 2 or 3 weeks, and that we get this election behind us. I'm almost positive that the American public is ready for this election to be over. I'm almost sure of that.
I think so, and I'm one of those that people ask me and say, well, who are you for? I said, I'm for wide margins. And I say, what? I said, I'm for wide margins. I don't like very small, narrow margins. Whoever wins, I just want them to win by a good margin.
Alan, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it.
Okay. This is Jeff Jordan for sitting in for Truman Jones today, who will be back, I promise you, at some point. And Brian Barrett's show is coming on right now. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. Much appreciated.